Life doesn't happen to you. It happens through you, because planted in the soil of your soul is a seed of infinite potential waiting for the right conditions to grow. And the power to activate it is in your control. That's the law of emergence. And this podcast gives you the tools to turn it on like never before. Welcome to Emergence, a revolutionary path for radical life change with Derek Riedel. Welcome, Derek Riedel here, founder of the Law of Emergence and author of the best-selling book, Emergence. And it's just such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you on this journey of emergence as we continue this deep dive into understanding and mastering the principles of real productivity, power, and purpose so that we can live our true purpose and make a mighty impact in this world. And we're talking today the topic, what should I do? And this is such a powerful topic. It's such an oft-asked question. You know, I have so many things that I'm doing. What should I pick? What should I choose? Out of all the options, what should I do? Sometimes the question is being asked unconsciously. We are doing so much and we're feeling burnt out or overwhelmed and drained and lacking inspiration and passion. And the unconscious question trying to be asked is, what should I do? What should I be focused on? What really matters? What's really going to move the needle? You know, we get so used to being busy that we don't take care of the real business, that we don't create real productivity. We are so used to reacting and putting out fires and meeting everybody else's needs and agendas. You know, your inbox is a nice organizing place for everybody else's agenda. And we just get so used to that and in such a momentum of that. And even sometimes you feel like you matter. You feel like you exist. You know, it's the great Descartes, I think, therefore I am. Today it would be, I'm busy, therefore I am. And so we have a sense of self, a sense of we exist, we have solidity, and we matter when we're busy. You know, you hear people constantly, how's it going? Oh, I'm so busy. And it's like a badge of honor, even though we don't feel, on one level, we don't feel great about it, but we feel kind of good about it. It's this interesting dichotomy, right? But ultimately, if we really want to live a powerful, thriving, healthy, truly successful life. And by success, I mean doing the thing you're truly designed to do and be, making the contribution and giving the gifts you're truly designed to give. You know, the apple tree is designed to produce the fruit of apples. If the apple tree was busy trying to be a pine tree and an oak tree and a rose bush, and it was getting all in the other trees and branches and trying to like create all these things in its life, even if it managed to eke out a little rose, of course, it would be impossible. Nature can't actually contradict its own nature, but we can fool ourselves, you know. But if the ecosystem started to act like that, the entire ecosystem would collapse. And so there is something you are designed to be, to do, to create, to contribute. There's a way you're designed to show up in the world that is uniquely your design. And it comes with unique goals, projects, relationships, tasks, ways to show up, ways to serve, etc. It's all part of the design package. And again, we're mostly, our schedules and lives get filled with reactions, with coping mechanisms, with trying to not get hurt or not lose something or make sure we have enough to survive, or doing all these things for other people because we have a shadow and we don't want to be looked at as being mean or selfish or a bad boy and girl, and we're afraid we'll get rejected and be unlovable and be all alone and homeless, broke, and die. And so like literally that's the unconscious motivation. And we have to begin to identify that compulsive drive, because it's not healthy, it's not helping. It's actually enabling others in our lives to also not be in their power. And it's completely draining us and burning us out and sapping all of the energy we need to be who we really are, to create the life we're really meant to live, and to give the gifts and make the difference we're really designed to do. And so we come back to, well, what should I do? What should I do with my life? What should I do with my day, my time, my year, my body, my abilities, my energy? What's the very best use of it? Now, it's beyond the scope of this particular podcast to get into the idea of vision. Ultimately, you have to start there. You have to, and there's other podcasts where I talk about how to tap into that. But there is a great vision, a seed of potential planted in the soil of your soul that you want to begin to really cultivate and uncover and discover and really ask, what is the great vision of my life? What is the bigger purpose for which I'm here? But in a smaller level, that's the 30,000 foot level, you know, down more at the 1,000 foot level or the 100 foot level or the ground level, where our life is filled with so many things. So for many of us, we kind of got to start there and sort of get some breathing room again, right? And you've maybe heard this saying that the good is the enemy of the great. And so what that means, for example, is maybe, you know, you get invited to go out with some friends, and it seems like a good idea. It might be fun. And you find yourself at the bar or the club or wherever, and you're sitting there and people are having fun. It's not a bad thing to be doing. It's fun. It's enjoyable for a lot of people, but you kind of find yourself wondering, what am I doing here? I'm telling myself I don't have time to exercise. My body's feeling broken down and tired. I'm not making time for that, but here I am appeasing a friend or distracting myself by going out. Or I've been saying I want to have more time with this other friend, or I want to be writing my book or building my business, but here I am doing this thing. I don't really belong here. Again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, maybe it's like a charitable event, it's like a, you know, a fundraiser for the school or something. And it's not a bad thing. In fact, for some people, that is their great thing. That is the thing they're really, truly passionate and meant to be doing. So there's no judgment, but it's not your thing. You can't do everything, even every good thing. There's supposedly a passage in the Bible where Jesus is being asked to stay in this one area. And he's like, no, I have to go to some other town. I have to keep spreading the good news. And they're like, no, stay. And he's like, no, I have more work to do. I have to keep moving. And so it's really important that, you know, that there's lots of things you could be doing. There's lots of people that could use your help, your service, your support, including your children 24/7, your partner, your spouse, your clients, your friends, your family. It's not like there's lots of things you could be doing to help them all, but that doesn't mean you should be doing it. And because of guilt and shame and our core shadows, we end up designing a life. We have a life not so much by intention or design, but by default. And we're so busy doing all these good things and sometimes not even good things, you know, because we're doing so many things that aren't the great things, the right things. We are, like I said, tired, overwhelmed, feeling more disconnected, unfulfilled. And then we have to turn to things to quell the pain of feeling so unfulfilled, of feeling so tired. So we drink more caffeinated beverages, or worse, we drink more alcohol. We drink stuff to put us up, and we drink stuff to bring us down, or eat stuff to ground us or to comfort us, or watch reality TV or binge watch entire shows on a night or a weekend that again, in and of itself might be a great thing to do in its right place and for the right person at the right time. But when it's coming from that compulsive need or that feeling of pain and unfulfillment, a lot of times it's another distraction. So because we're not honoring the great within us, the truth within us, the real yes within us, we get burned out, we get tired, we get disconnected, we become unfulfilled, even depressed. And then because we don't understand what that's all about or even aren't willing to feel it, we create another layer of coping and defense mechanisms, and that turns into addictions and other compulsive behaviors to not feel what we're feeling, that we're feeling tired, burnt out, depressed, and unfulfilled. So we have to start unraveling that and get back to our core, back to our real yes, back to what we really want to do, what we were really designed to do. And even looking at the good things that other family, friends, and stuff are excited about, but isn't our great thing. It might be their great thing, but it's not ours. Or I put it another way, what's working that's in the way? So sometimes there's things that appear to be working in our lives, things that seem to be kind of going good. You know, we got a good, you know, you heard the saying, you got a good thing going here, kid. Don't mess with it. Don't fix it if it ain't broke. Well, that's not entirely accurate. Just because something isn't broken doesn't mean that it's not meant to evolve, right? So I use the example all often of the Rubik's Cube, that little square puzzle, and it's all messed up, all different colors on each side. And the point of the puzzle is you have to keep turning and twisting until you get every side a solid color. And you start to do it, and at some point you get one of the sides solid. So you get a solid white. And that's like, yay, it's a success. It's working. However, what do you have to do to get the next side working? You have to mess up what you just got working. So just be, you could say, well, it's not broken, it's working. Why would I want to mess that side up? Well, you have to mess it up if you're going to get the next side working. And then you get two sides working. Yay, victory. But now what do you got to do to keep getting the next side, the next side? You got to keep messing up what's working. You have to keep messing up the level of success you've just achieved. You have to be more focused on a grander vision than on necessarily short-term payoffs. Again, it doesn't mean you don't appreciate them and celebrate them. Yay, I got another side. Yay, I got another side. Yay. But you got to keep letting it go and moving and evolving. And so a lot of times in our life, there are certain things that are quote-unquote working at a certain level. Maybe your marriage is not broken, but is it really thriving? And maybe you got to kind of break things or at least shake things up. As I like to say, sometimes my work is not just to comfort the afflicted, but to afflict the comfortable. Maybe you've got a job that's not broken. It's kind of working. It's paying the bills. They're not necessarily mistreating you. Maybe they even appreciate you. You got a good thing, kid. You got a good thing going. But you're not truly on fire. You're not truly alive, fully alive and passionate. And there's something more that's trying to emerge. And you might have to mess it up a little bit at first in order to say yes to your bigger yes. There might be a lot of good things you're doing in that job or good things about that marriage. And maybe you're doing a lot of good things, but they're not the great things. You know, maybe you watch TV together at night and it's kind of good. Maybe you have a meal at night and it's kind of good. Maybe you spend some time on the weekends and it's kind of good, but it's not the great. It's not what you really desire. What you really desire is a relationship that's on fire with passion, with romance, with adventure, with creativity. And yet to move toward that, you would have to start saying no to some of the good things. You'd have to start messing up what's working and open up to the great. Open up to the bigger yes, to the greater vision. This is challenging because we're always seeking another level of status quo, of equilibrium, of balance. And we don't. Once we find that balance, we don't want to lose it. But how do you walk? If you never ever wanted to lose your balance, you couldn't walk. Because every time you walk, what you're really doing is falling forward. You're going completely off balance, catching yourself. Off balance, catching yourself. Off balance, catching yourself, but at a new level each time, in a new space, a more progressive space. So you're off balance, catch yourself, rebalance. Off balance, catch yourself, rebalance. Before you learn to do that, you fell. As a child, you got up, you fell. You got up, you fell. And you just kept falling forward and eventually you were walking. So because of this mechanism, it's always trying to bring us to a state of equilibrium, of balance. We are more inclined or have more commitment to staying the same rather than changing and continuing to grow. So that's one of the big things we have to begin to move out of. And the other issue is, again, as I said in the beginning here, because to really go for the great in our life, we would have to say no to a lot of the good, including a lot of good people, including a lot of sincere requests that are good requests that deserve to be answered. It's just not our job to answer them all. There is no way you can do it. You cannot give to every charity. You cannot support every need in the world. You can't help every hungry child or every scared animal or lost or stray animal. You can't help every person that asks for it. You just can't. Not even Jesus could. And I think, you know, not even Mother Teresa could, not even Martin Luther King could, not even Gandhi could. But there is a portion that is saved out for you. There is the ones, the people, the situations, the projects that you are uniquely designed to serve and to help and to bring your greatness to. And that's what you have to begin to discover. And this puts you on a journey of real growth, real strength, real mastery. Because again, it puts us right up against our core shadows, our core wounds, our core fears of being seen in a negative way, being rejected, becoming unlovable, losing something, and ultimately, you know, dying. It's really the deep fear. And so one of the things to begin to do, you know, the truth is that less really is more. Doing a few things that are yours to do, that are the right things to do, doing a few things that are a must is much more productive, effective than doing a bunch of things that are a maybe. Or as I've heard it put before, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. Now, a caveat to that is sometimes even our hell yes is covered up by fear. Fear of failure, fear of loss, etc. So it doesn't feel like a hell yes. There is a yes there, but it's got a yes but. And so sometimes we have to clear away some of the debris and ask empowering questions like, if I was guaranteed to succeed, you know, what's my hell yes in my life? So we have to kind of clear away the dust and grit of the journey. But ultimately, you're looking for those hell yeses. You're looking for, or at least just a yes with an exclamation mark. The thing that you deeply resonate with the most, the thing you feel will most move the needle. And that doesn't mean it's going to always move the needle immediately. It's going to, but it means that overall, it's the most important high leverage thing you could be putting your time into. And in truth, most of the most important things are not urgent. As Stephen Covey talks about in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that there is the things that are not urgent, but important. That's the most important category. That's like, you know, dealing with your health, your spirituality, your personal growth, your relationships before they become urgent. If you don't deal with the important, but not urgent, it becomes urgent and important. So that's the next category. And now you're kind of always in this state of urgency, but it is important. And we do need to address that because we have a lot of urgent and important things in our life because we haven't spent enough time in the important but not urgent category. Then, because we get so stressed out or burned out and so much stuff, there's the next category we tend to slip into, which is the urgent but not important. So that's everybody else's agenda that isn't really ours. You know, and again, it might be important to them. So we're not judging anybody. It's just not ours to handle. And yet it has a sense of urgency because they're urgent, right? It's all those emails. It's those phone calls. It's the child pulling on you while you're on the phone and saying, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, I need this. Give me this. I need this. It's urgent to the child, but it's not urgent for you. And then there's the final category. If you get caught into that third category too much, now you're really burnt out. And you just need to distract yourself and numb yourself. And so you move into not urgent, not important. You just check out. You just disconnect. You just pop a beer or two or six and just flop on the couch and watch 6 hours of Ice Road Truckers or whatever. Nothing wrong with that show. I've never actually watched it. Looks kind of funny. But whatever, you know, Honey Boo Boo, whatever the case may be, the Kardashians. And you just check out. It's not important. It's not urgent. You're just so overwhelmed or burnt out. You got to check out. So that's what happens along the spectrum when we haven't taken the time to discover what is truly the thing or things we're meant to do. The great, not just the good. The hell yes. The thing I must, not just the thing that's a maybe. And we have to be compassionate. We have to be patient because there's some unraveling that has to happen as we kind of work our way back to focusing most of our time and attention on the important but not urgent. There will still be urgent and important for a while, and maybe to a little extent forever, but it will become increasingly less. And then the other categories, urgent and not important and not urgent, not important, they just become ultimately, you know, delegated, automated, or eliminated out of our life so that we are only in the important but not urgent and occasionally the urgent and important. And so we're mostly on the hell yes with a little bit of the, you know, urgently, oh my God, I have to, right? So we want to be mostly on the I get to, but sometimes we have to focus on I have to. Now, one way to begin to do this process is to actually make a list of everything you do and everything on your list that you think you have to do. So perhaps it's the next month's worth of things. And some of them are things you do all the time, and some of them are things you're adding to your list over the next month. And look at that list and start to identify, if I was guaranteed success, what are the few things that would be a hell yes? Now, you can also do this, break it down in terms of structures, which might be a little easier. So you have several life structures: health, wealth, work, relationships, spiritual growth, personal development, service. And you can break down all these tasks into these categories. What are all the things you're doing in the category of health? What are all the things you're doing in the category of wealth, work, relationships, spiritual growth, personal development? Now, personal development means things where you're developing your personal skills and capacities, like learning to ride a bike, learning to play the guitar, learning to, write a book, learning to become a coach, learning to grow a business. That's personal development. Now, it also is connected to work, but it's not the actual work. It's the development of that aspect of your persona, okay? And then there's service, and that is the area where you are giving of yourself philanthropically or of service to the world. Now, sometimes these things connect. Your work ultimately can also be your service, right? So you can be developing your personal development, being of service, and accomplishing your work all together, and that produces your wealth, et cetera, et cetera. You see what I mean? But breaking them up into categories and then putting all those to-dos, projects, tasks within the right category gives you like a cleaner snapshot of what you're doing or not doing in those very critical categories. Then look at the categories. And of those categories, what are the two categories? You know, I would say maximum three for now to start. It doesn't mean they're not all important, but there's always, you know, one or two or three that are really calling out to be developed. Rarely are all of them urgently needing to be developed. And what happens is that when you focus on the one or two or three that really matter, that are hell yeses, the ramifications, because it's really holistic, it's really one, it impacts the others. So for example, some of them have higher leverage. If you work on your health and get into great physical shape, the energy you have, the blood circulation, it improves your thinking. You end up having more energy to do more work. You end up having better emotional state and it improves your relationships. You end up having more clarity and you're able to be more creative and in your personal development area, you see? So that's a very high leverage category that if you don't have a handle on it, it almost always should be one of your main categories. The second main category tends to be spiritual development, whatever that means to you. Because when you don't have a deep connection with who you really are and why you're alive and your heart and your spirit, everything else suffers. It's like a branch trying to survive without being connected to the tree. It withers and dies. So developing a deep connection to your heart, to your spirit, to who you really are, you know, what's above the Oracle of Delphi, know thyself. So knowing yourself, getting in the best shape you can, these are like almost always, if they're not already on good momentum, should be two of the categories you're focused on. And then I would say the next most important one is relationships. Because if you, you know, the saying community breeds immunity. We are relationship driven machines, relationship driven beings. When you're connected to others, so the connection to yourself is first, the connection to your body is second, and then extending that connection to others is third. This is the path of health, of wholeness. When you're disconnected from others, they've shown that many of the suicides, the depression, etc., are directly linked to people who had connections with family, community, or like in the army or whatever, and suddenly lose that bond, lose that connection, and fall into depression and ultimately addiction, drugs, and even suicide. So and also they've shown that when you have community, you tend to heal faster and not get sick as often. So real authentic relationships is, again, super high leverage. You know, when you're in love, you can conquer the world, right? So when you are feeling great about yourself, feeling great about your body, and feeling loved and loving, you're a superstar. You're able to rock the world. So that's why those are the three probably most important categories. Now, as I said, they're all critical because each one is necessary to a whole person, but each one then extends. So from there, the next level is work, your right work in the world. If you've got all these things, but you're not producing the fruit of your kind, you will stagnate. And then it will back up and start to suffer all the other branches of your life. So you have to then move to the next level, work. And on this goes. So you can look at this and you can actually decide for yourself, what are the areas that are most critical? What are the areas that would move the needle most? And then within those one or two or three, or let's say two or three areas, you look at the two or three activities, whether if maybe it's a project or it's some tasks that you then identify as your hell yes, as the must, not the maybe, as the great, not just the good. So for example, in the area of health, maybe you're taking yoga, you're going to, you're working out at the gym, you are running, maybe you're doing a bunch of things and it's, you know, you're spending 2 hours a day on your health and it's not necessary. Maybe if you just spent, you know, a full hour in one area, that would actually give you the greatest leverage. Or you might discover you're not spending much time at all there. And meanwhile, you're spending all this time at work or all this time trying to make money or all this time trying to put out fires in relationships. And that area is sacrificed, is suffering. So you want to find, well, what's the one thing I could do that is really a must, that's really a hell yes, that would really give me a lot of leverage? The great, not just the good. So you identify that, right? And you might notice that there's some things you can let go of within that category that is not necessary. And then the area, again, of relationships, maybe you're trying to keep up 10 different friendships and 10 different colleagueships and you're networking and always thinking you got to keep the network going and all this energy. And meanwhile, your relationship with your wife is suffering or your relationship with your children is not as joyful and thriving. And when you look at all these things, you realize, yeah, it's a good idea to keep up my network. It's a good idea to keep being a good friend to all my friends. But what's the great? What's the must? If I could have really awesome relationship with my children or with my best friend or with this one best friend or with my partner, maybe it's my child, my partner, and my best friend. Let me, instead of trying to keep relationships going with 20 people, let me really focus on making great relationships with these three people. Now, that doesn't mean you just completely cut yourself off from all these people. However, it might in some cases. If you really look at it, you might realize you're operating from a place of fear, a fear of missing out, a fear of feeling bad, of being guilty, of being creating conflict, of, you know, getting kicked out of that club or not being able to get another client because of it. So you want to notice when you're being moved by fear, by a shadow, a compulsive behavior, versus being pulled by passion and vision and inspiration. And if it's being moved by fear, you want to look and see what is the reason why. And if it's not something that really adds true value to your life, there's something else that's much more valuable than you know, it's not just, well, the mothers will think I'm a bad mother if I don't go to every PTA meeting, or if I don't go to the student car washes every time, or bake the pies or whatever. And you're like, you know, I'm only doing this because I don't want to look bad. I'm only doing this because I want them to not like me. But I don't really want to do it. It's not really the thing I most bring the most value to, or the thing I can bring the greatest level of joy and love and passion and capacity for my children. So what would be that thing? You see? And so as you break down this list, you want to just go through the list as an exercise and discover what are your reasons for doing everything you do. And start to notice there are certain patterns that keep recurring. I'm doing this so I don't look bad. I'm doing this so I don't feel guilty. I'm doing this so I don't feel shame. I'm doing this so I don't lose the job or lose the opportunity. I'm doing this so that that person doesn't think I'm selfish or a bad mom or a bad parent. I'm doing this because I don't want to lose. I'm doing this because I'm afraid. And then notice also, what do I really, really want to do? And this can even be another list of the things you really want to do, but you're not doing. And then you can make a list, I'm not doing this because I'm afraid. And you can start to really see what are some of the core patterns driving you. And the more you see it, the expanded awareness gives you actual real choice and begins the process of real change. And so make the list, break it down into these categories: health, wealth, work, relationships, spirituality, personal growth, or personal development and service. And identify within that list, what are all the reasons why you're doing it so you can understand your patterns? And then what are the two or three categories that are a must, not a maybe, that are a hell yes, not just a maybe? And then within those categories, identify the two or three most important things that would really, really take your life to the next level, or that area to the next level, that are passionate, that are a yes, that are a must. And now organize that into your plan and begin the process of organizing out of your plan all of these other commitments, all of these other things, to the extent that you can. And the ones you can't, immediately begin the journey or the process of renegotiating those commitments so that you can begin to get them off your list and off your plan. And so that your plan progressively reflects who you are in the deepest core, your deepest yes, your deepest passion, your hell yes, your musts, the great, not just the good. And it feels more and more authentic and congruent. Now you've got a plan, a real plan, that if you don't already know what your bigger vision is, it's going to start to tune you more into it. And that's why really doing the work on vision is so important, because if you don't know where you're going, every road will take you there, which means you could go down every road and you're just going to be lost. So knowing really where you want to go, like where do you really want to go with your family, with your relationships, with your body, with your wealth, with your life and your commitment and your contribution? Where do you really want to go at the end of the year? Where do you really want to go at the end of 5 years? Where do you really want to be at the end of a life? And then reverse engineer that back to, as a template, as a North Star, as a compass. If that's where I really want to go, am I heading in that direction? And if the things I'm doing and that are on my to-do list and my plan are not, well, guess where they have to go? Somewhere else. And so now you identify and you start to organize this plan. And don't freak out, you have to put it on your schedule. Now, some of you have full schedules and that's not a problem. Your problem is just the things on your schedule are keeping you busy, but they're not necessarily making you productive. So you, for those of you, others of you, heart-centered, creatively minded people, you don't tend to have a real schedule or a real plan. You just kind of go with the flow. But as I often say, if you just go with the flow, you're going to probably end up going over a waterfall and crashing into the rocks below, or getting stuck in some branches or brambles, or you know, crashing into a rock. So going with the flow isn't a good idea, because you don't know what flow you're going with until you do know. And so it's go with the flow, but don't forget to row. Row, row, flow, flow, row, row, flow, flow. So for you people that love to flow, don't forget to row. Now, how do you know where to row? You got to know where you're going. Got to know where to go before you know where to row. I feel like I'm going to start breaking into a rap here. So you got to have a plan. You got to have a vision. And then you got to put it on your schedule. And then you do it. Now, that's a whole nother topic. There's other podcasts that talk about why we don't do what we've committed to, the value of commitment. It's beyond the scope of this. This is more than enough to play with. And it's so important, because this is one of the biggest questions. What should I do? Out of all the choices and options, what should I do? What's the right thing, the right direction, the best thing, the thing that will really move my life, move the needle, take things to the next level? Listen to this again, take notes, and follow the recipe. Again, if you want to go deeper into vision, into understanding commitment and planning, go through the archives of the podcast. Check those out as well. And while we're talking about that, if you haven't already signed up for the podcast, sign up. It's free. You get access to about 100 free trainings. I'm adding new ones every week. And it's an invaluable resource. You can download all of them right away, so they're in your library. And that way, as we archive them, which we are doing on an ongoing basis, I think every week, as a matter of fact, at least one or two of them gets archived. And we're eventually going to archive a whole bunch of them. So register, download all of them. Now you own them. And listen and apply. Choose at least one thing you'll do about this today. Action has power. So I hope this has served you in getting clear on what you should do. And if you want to have even more support, you can go to derekrydell.com. You can also check out my Facebook page. You can go to lawofemergence.com and download a free mini e-course on the law of emergence. If you want to grab my book, Emergence, the bestseller, you can also go to my Emergence book, click on the Amazon or Barnes & Noble button, buy it through there, and then leave your information, and we're going to give you a bunch of bonuses to help you really apply it and get real-world results. Again, I truly love and appreciate you for showing up, not just showing up for me, but showing up for you. Because as you show up for you, you come alive. And what the world is looking for is people who have come alive. Until next time, remember to live authentically, to love unconditionally, and to follow your destiny. Take care, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Emergence Podcast. Please visit emergencetraining.com to learn more and get a free training on the law of emergence. Thank you once again, and stay inspired.